Radio Prague News. The Chamber of Deputies of the Czech Parliament has approved a bill on legalization of medical marijuana. Charles University's Academic Senate has expressed disapproval of the latest proposal for higher education reforms, and the Prague Zoo is getting ready for a complicated birth of a baby gorilla. The Chamber of Deputies has approved a bill on Friday that legalizes the use of marijuana to alleviate some medical conditions. Patients will be able to purchase marijuana only with an electronic prescription from a doctor. The bill still needs to be approved by the Senate and signed by the President to come into effect. Prime Minister Petr Nečas has announced significant concessions to the government's S-card system, streamlining social and welfare benefit payments that is to come into effect in January next year. In line with a fresh agreement reached with Česká spořitelna and the Czech Postal Service, S-cards will not be mandatory for payments and will only serve for identification purposes. Under the proposed amendment, people will be free to decide whether they want their benefits sent to the S-card account, a different account, or by post. The only exemption concerns those suspected of exploiting the welfare benefit system. The Academic Senate of Prague's Charles University has issued a statement saying that it disagrees with the current proposal for higher education reforms. According to the Senate spokesperson, the Education Ministry's current proposal does not resolve even the basic problem of separating universities into scientific and professional ones. He also claimed that the ministry has not allowed for enough time to negotiate possible changes. The academic community has rejected a number of proposals for reforms in the past few years. Thousands of students and academics protested against the reforms proposed by the former education minister, Josef Dobeš, this February. President Václav Klaus has refused to sign an addendum to the Lisbon Treaty on the creation of a European Stability Mechanism. The president said on Friday that he considers the mechanism to be ill-conceived and absurd. The addendum to the treaty, which was agreed on at an EU summit last December, has been ratified by both chambers of the Czech Parliament, but the president's refusal to sign it makes the Czech Republic the only EU member state not to have completed the ratification process. The Senate called on the president on Thursday to sign the addendum without further delay, noting that failure to comply with the parliament's decision in this matter would be in violation of the Constitution. The Czech ombudsman Pavel Varvařovský is planning to lodge a legal complaint against the system of checks for the unemployed called DONES, which will come into effect starting January. DONES requires people registered as unemployed to appear at public administration centers a few times a week. The measure is meant to prevent people who receive unemployment benefits from working illegally. Mr. Varvařovský believes this constitutes as an excessive encroachment on human dignity. A gorilla named Kamba, who resides at the Prague Zoo, is due to give birth in January, but already a month before, 60 people are ready to step in at any moment to help the mother, who most likely is also suffering from a heart condition. Because of her condition, the birth may be tricky and dangerous, so the zoo's veterinarian has a list of in-house and external specialists who are on call and would be able to help with the delivery. Another gorilla in the zoo named Kieva will also give birth around the same time, but the staff do not expect complications in this case. And as for the weather, it will be getting increasingly colder in the upcoming days, with day temperatures going possibly as low as minus 13 degrees Celsius and up to around minus 2 degrees in South Moravia. Despite the cold, the sun will be out for most of the weekend, with possible light snowfall later on. I'm Masha Walensky, and that's all for the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Jan Bellinger. Coming up in today's program, we look at the controversial S-card system and developments there. That'll be followed by the latest in business news, and a little later in the program, we look at a new production of Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol, here in the Czech capital. That's all ahead. A Few of the government's social reforms have aroused as much opposition as the controversial S-Card system, a new electronic system streamlining social and welfare benefit payments, which is to come into force in January. In the face of growing opposition from left-wing parties, the National Disability Council, and even the country's ombudsman, the centre-right government, has now promised to amend the law which would make S-Card payments mandatory for everyone concerned. Daniela Lazareva has the story.
The electronic S-Card was meant to take the system of welfare benefit payments into the 21st century. But like the ill-fated electronic health card system, which the government was forced to scrap earlier this year, it has run into serious problems. The plan to streamline social and welfare benefit payments to newly established bank accounts run by Česká spořitelna, the largest bank on the market, has come under fire from all sides. Critics argue that recipients living in small villages may have problems getting to a money machine and would inevitably lose money on the transaction from their already meager state contribution. Everyone on welfare would be forced to have an account at Česká spořitelna, which was selected by the government to run the operation, even if they already have an account elsewhere. And last but not least, the bank institution would be privy to people's personal data, which could easily be abused. To sum it up, the government would save millions of crowns on postal services, Česká spořitelna would make money managing the accounts, and those on welfare would gain very little. Welfare recipients threatened to take the matter to court, and the opposition-controlled Senate on Thursday expressed support for a proposal to abolish the S-Card system, which its chairman described as a dangerous attempt to further privatize public services. Former Constitutional Court Judge Eliška Wagnerová, a newly elected senator for the Green Party, expressed the view that the S-Card system was not just unethical, it was downright unconstitutional. In the face of the hue and cry, the government quickly backtracked on its plans. At a press conference in Prague on Friday, Prime Minister Petr Nečas announced that the government had renegotiated the deal with Česká spořitelna and the Czech Postal Service, resulting in an agreement that S-cards will not be mandatory for payments, serving merely as an ID.
Výplata sociálních dávek prostřednictvím S-card představuje pro klienty.
We regard the S-Card system as just another option that recipients of welfare can use. I am all for modern technology, but it must not be forced upon users against their will. This must be a matter of gradual evolution. We will amend the law and introduce S-Card payments on a voluntary basis. The card will only serve as an ID, and people will be free to decide whether they want their benefits sent to the S-Card account, a different account, or through a postal check. It will only be compulsory for people below the poverty line, where there is a substantiated risk of the funds being abused for gambling, alcohol, cigarettes, and so on.
People who opt to use the S-cards will not have to pay banking fees for drawing money from their account, no matter how many times they choose to do so. Those who want it delivered by Czech Post will also get the service for free. Those who want it channeled from their S-card account to a different one will not pay a transfer fee, and the card will also allow cashback payments. The government has opened talks with the Anti-Monopoly Office and the Office for Personal Data Protection to reassure them on any outstanding issues. The Prime Minister stressed that he wanted to dispel public fears that threatened to scupper a system intended to improve public services in welfare. Over a million S-cards will be issued by the end of the year, and in making some significant concessions, the Prime Minister is hoping to turn the tide of public dissatisfaction and get more people to jump on the bandwagon of what he claims will be a modern, fast and user-friendly service.
That was Daniela Lazareva reporting on the situation surrounding the controversial S-Card system. Now, though, it's time to look at this week in business, and for that I'm joined by my colleague Jan Richter. The average monthly wage in the Czech Republic increased in the third quarter of this year by some 350 crowns to just over 24,500 crowns, or more than $1,250, according to figures released this week by the Czech Statistical Office. That represents a 1.4% increase, the lowest quarterly rise since 2000.
After taking inflation into account, however, the real wages decreased by 1.8%. Wages in the private sector only rose by 1.3% between July and September, 1% less than in the previous quarter. In the public sector, wages grew by 2.3%. This development further weakens domestic demand, which is considered a major factor behind the recession of the Czech economy.
The Czech government has pushed through an overhaul of the Czech pension system, which comes into force next month. The reform offers people a chance to divert part of their retirement insurance to individual accounts run by private pension funds. But a survey by the AWD consultancy released this week shows that only about 2% of those eligible are interested in joining the new system, while another 4% said they were likely to join. In contrast, more than 75% of people who participated in the survey said they were not interested, with some 18% of respondents remaining undecided.
Only 2 out of 50 airlines approached by Czech Aero Holding, the mother company of Czech Airlines, or CSA, have expressed interest in purchasing the troubled national carrier, Prime Minister Petr Nečas said on Wednesday. These are Qatar Airways and Korean Air. The Czech government is looking to sell a 96% stake in the firm to a European carrier. Only a minority stake has been put up for sale for those outside Europe. Binding bids should be submitted in February, and the Czech government is scheduled to make a decision on the sale in April or March. Czech Airlines last year posted a net loss of 241 million crowns, or nearly 12.4 million US dollars. However, the company's balance was improved by massive property sales, while Czech Airlines' profits dropped by some 20%.
The Czech National Bank expects apartment prices to continue to decline next year, board member Eva Zamrazilová told a conference in Brno this week. Decreasing real wages along with a weakening of economic activity are seen as factors that will continue to push prices down in 2013. A slight increase is expected only in the prices of building lots. The Czech Statistical Office registered a 0.4% rise in apartment asking prices in Prague in the third quarter of this year. But Ms. Zamrazilová said this was a statistical anomaly. Reality Mix, a real estate website, says prices of apartments in Prague dropped in November by 1.4% compared to the previous month. The average price of 1 square meter in the capital was given as just over 52,000 crowns, or around 2,700 US dollars.
And Czech spas are going through a deep crisis, with fewer Czech and foreign patients, lower payments from insurance companies, and more government restrictions of diagnoses covered by health insurance, the Daily Hospodarské noviny reported on Wednesday. Spas have seen a 25% drop in demand this year and expect that Czech health insurers will cut their payments by one-third. Some spas react by closing down their facilities for the winter season, others lay off staff. The head of the Czech Spa Association told the paper that the situation was the gravest since the privatization of the 1990s.
And that was my colleague Jan Richter with the very latest in business news. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for today's feature. The Prague Playhouse, a successful English language theatre company based in the Czech capital since 2003, premieres its new production of Charles Dickens' timeless tale, A Christmas Carol, on Friday at Divadlo Inspirace. Just a few hours ahead of the premiere, the show's producer, Laura Strugar, and musical director, Tyson Hakes, dropped by Czech radio to discuss the production with me, including how this year's version is different. It's my pleasure to welcome both of you, Laura Strugar and Tyson Hakes, to the studio. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Today is, of course, the premiere of your new production of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. You've got to be very excited about that.
Yes, actually, very excited. We've been working on it for, what is it, about 6 weeks now. And, really, we've put in a lot of effort to this show. We're kind of taking it in a different direction. Our director, Michael Piven, has a great vision for the show. And we're really excited to finally see the fruits of our labors and see the production on stage.
I believe it. You're leading into my first question, which is, How is this production different from ones that you've put on before? I know that you put on A Christmas Carol last year as well.
Yeah, last year we put on A Christmas Carol, and it was more of a traditional style. We did it down in a cellar near Old Town Square, and this one will be in Davadlo in Sparadze, which is more of a typical theater space. But it's the vision is different because it's a different director, and whereas last year was more of the traditional Christmas Carol, this year Michael Pitten, the director, has made it into more of a spooky ghost story, exactly how Dickens wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Conceptually, what were some things that he did with the material, either in the terms of the script or in terms of the visuals?
Well, one thing that we've done is we're adding in the music, and really what we're trying to draw on, there's very little instrumentation. The only instruments we have are accordion and viola, and we use the viola for the lower sounds, you know, as opposed to the violin, which is more higher sounds and more of a bright sound. So we really go for the dark. We're pulling from not only traditional Christmas carols, and we tend to stick to the minor keys, which are, you know, tend to be the sadder keys. And we also are pulling from a lot of traditional Czech music, and our accordionist, Jirka Čevala, is amazing, just pulling from those traditional things that he knows very, very well. And, you know, we're using them to create really that spooky scene that Michael was looking for. Mm-hmm. And it's been so much fun, you know, pulling those and working with it. And, you know, sometimes we had to say, you know, oh, this just isn't working. Let's find something else. And I think we've really created his spooky vision with the music there, because traditionally A Christmas Carol is not a musical.
The director isn't here today, of course, but I want to ask about the visuals as well, because one of the images which you can see on Facebook is kind of the use of a shadow play. So I wanted to ask about how some of the key scenes were handled. Obviously, there's the visitations by the four ghosts.
Right.
There's also the element of time passing. So I wondered how you handled or how he handled those elements.
Michael is a fantastic performer himself, actually, and he has a great background in puppetry as well as acting as a professional actor. So he really wanted to incorporate that with this show, and one of the amazing designers that he brought in was Bridget Doner, who's a German puppeteer. She actually makes puppets, and she can work the puppets. So we have some hybrid puppets that will be half human, half puppet. And then we also have, like you saw on Facebook, we have a photo that we posted. We have an actual shadow puppet scene that they have worked to choreograph in one of the scenes where Scrooge goes back into his past, into his childhood, the Ali Baba scene. And for example, the visuals, he wants things that don't look necessarily human all the time. For example, Marley is a puppet face, and Marley is played by a human, but the face is a puppet, and so it creates this unnaturalness, and there's a glow, like an unearthly glow about it. Also, the idea of it not being reality, what Scrooge is experiencing, he has this visual of lights bubbling up from one side of the stage to the other and just flowing back and forth as different scenes play in front of Scrooge. And so Scrooge is literally taken from one scene to the other and flown around by these spirits as he experiences Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future. And so it has a more dreamlike feel to it. He's kept it in the grays, the browns, the blacks, and he brings color through, I think, the emotion that he wants people to feel. Like at the beginning, it's very cold and mm-hmm. dark. And of course, at the end, the redemption of Scrooge is very warm and relaxing.
In terms of some of these dramatic moments, when I think of performances I've seen in the past or of some of the movies that were made of A Christmas Carol, to my mind, I always associate kind of like the crashes of drums or the rattle of chains. Do you also use anything else in terms of effects for this, or have you gone a different direction?
Yes, we are using some effects with that. For example, the chains, that's a big one. It would almost not be A Christmas Carol without the rattling chains. But we use various different metal tubes to create bell sounds and things like that.
And drums? And, some drums?
Drums, some tambourine.
So that's there.
Mm-hmm. Just, you know, we really had fun putting that together and just sitting down and playing with things and figuring out, oh, we like this, we don't like this, let's put that in. So that was really a lot of fun to, you know, just make sound.
You talked about the spookiness and the fact that Christmas Carol is a ghost story. Today, maybe some viewers or audiences forget that this kind of mashup that Dickens did between traditional Christmas and really a scary story, and they associate that kind of thing more with a Tarantino or a Tim Burton, this kind of mixing of genres, right? Yeah. So in a way, Dickens, I don't know how many other precedents there were for that kind of mashup in his day.
I've wondered that myself, because growing up in an English native culture like we have, you just understand that A Christmas Carol is one of the standard Christmas stories. But unlike every other single Christmas story that we watch or that we read, this is actually a ghost story, and it's quite scary. And Dickens himself was actually quite obsessed with ghosts and the spirit world. And so to actually incorporate that into a Christmas story was, I think, even unusual for his time.
Apparently, through A Christmas Carol, Dickens kind of reframed how we celebrate Christmas today, that a lot of those elements, giving a charity, the kind of softening of one's heart, reassessing one's life, that those kind of values were something that had actually been missing. There was a kind of return to also a nostalgia for old Christmas traditions. So we have him to thank to a large degree.
Yeah. And one thing that is amazing about Dickens is the way that he actually grew up. He a lot of his books focus on poor and poverty and being charitable, because he grew up in a very poor family himself. You know, he talks about workhouses and terrible living conditions for the poor people in London at that time. But that's because he grew up in that. His family experienced that, and he knew what that was like. And during that time, it was almost impossible to change classes from one strata to the next. So for him to be able to write about it and express his unhappiness with how he felt people were being treated, Christmas Carol definitely opens that up for us to see his life and what his opinion was.
Scrooge is obviously not an easy character to play. I think one of the trickiest things in terms of performing him is that moment of gradual transition where he realizes that his life has been a mistake, or that he hasn't fulfilled or been the person he could have been. This is tricky for any actor. Now, I just recently rewatched the George C. Scott version, which is the version that I grew up with.
That's my favorite, yes.
Who is the actor who plays Scrooge in your production, and how does he do with that transition?
Well, the director, Michael, one of his main ideas for the show was we're all a little bit like Scrooge. So actually, all the actors get a chance to play Scrooge. There's a main actor, Milan Malinowski, who was in our summer production of Sweeney Todd, and he's a great actor, and he's mainly playing Scrooge, so that we have a main central actor playing him. But each actor trades off in certain areas the Scrooge character. So they've done a lot of movement workshops together, a lot of talking and discussing, and how does Scrooge feel in your body? How do you move your body when you're Scrooge? How does it change your appearance? How does it change the way you hold yourself or your emotion? And they've done a lot of workshopping with that. Mm-hmm. On stage, you'll see Scrooge represented by a red scarf. Mm-hmm. And this red scarf will be passed around. And when you can see the change, in the actors, the red scarf hits them and goes around their neck. They immediately become Scrooge. And they work on everything from the workshops, how they feel Scrooge is, and even the women and younger men. And Milan, who's one of our more mature actors, they're able to exude the Scrooge-ness that they've worked on.
The Scrooge-ness, I like it. But obviously that is a very non-traditional approach, right? That you just, yes, described. Mm-hmm. The other thing about Prague Playhouse that is very distinct is the fact that there's so many different people from different walks of life, different parts of the world. English speakers, native English speakers, Czechs. How important is that aspect for putting on a production like A Christmas Carol?
I think that has really lended itself to helping create kind of our different vision. We've got so many different people coming in with so many different life experiences. Yet at the same time, you know, going back to Michael's main theme, there is the Scrooge in all of us. And we all have those commonalities that run through our cultures, no matter what our culture. And we've all been able to find that and find common ground. And on the other side of that, you know, it's been great working with people from around the world and getting to know a different culture. And, you know, speaking for myself, I've learned a lot about different cultures just from how things are interpreted, you know, how the text is interpreted by different people. And it's really been a pleasure working with all of these people.
Who do you expect in the audience? Will it be more expats? Will it be Czechs? A bit of both? And like other performances, is this one going to be subtitled?
We do have subtitles for this performance. We make it a goal, since we are in the Czech Republic, to subtitle them. Because, yes, we are an English theater, so we have a very large expat community that comes to see our shows every year and every time we put something on. But we really want to make it accessible to the Czech people. And often you have Czech people who have studied English, but maybe they're not 100% secure in that English. Mm-hmm. So having subtitles is something that they know they can come and actually enjoy a high quality level English production and not worry about understanding every single word.
My understanding also is that Czechs who say began learning English here in high school or even earlier, Dickens has quite a strong place. So you can't go wrong to a degree.
Right. And Dickens, as we all know, there are lines from the actual book that we know these sentences are from A Christmas Carol. So, for example, you know, the opening sentence, Marley was dead to begin with. There are specific sentences that we all know from native English culture. And certainly you can read Vanočný koleda and understand what happens in A Christmas Carol, but you don't get the true experience of A Christmas Carol as Charles Dickens wrote it until you hear his words the way that he wrote it and hear the traditional
delivery.
Delivery of how the ghost of Marley, you know, in life I was your partner, Jacob Marley. These are really important parts of Dickens, and you cannot truly understand the experience that Dickens was trying to bring across until you hear it in the original English.
This is a bit extraneous, especially since we're talking about Dickens and something that was very specific to his time and place. But to my mind, because plays are something that are often discussed by members of the audience as they go home, you know, they go over the play again in their minds, it can't hurt that the members of your audience will be heading out somewhere afterwards in a city like Prague, especially if there's a bit of snow in the air and you have these small historic streets. Do you think it'll add to the kind of experience of seeing the play?
I hope so.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's definitely added to the experience for me.
Yeah, it's certainly changed the way I see A Christmas Carol myself, because the environment here is so much more quaint and apropos for something like A Christmas Carol.
You can imagine a Scrooge coming along through the
and
winding
Dickens.
Streets of Malastrana.
Absolutely.
Best of luck with the performance. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much.
You've been listening to The Arts. My guests this week were Laura Strugar and Tyson Hakes from the Prague Playhouse about their latest production, which kicks off this Friday. Of course, it's Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. So if you're into English language theater, you're based in the Czech capital, you'll definitely want to look them up online on the internet. And while you're on the internet, also look us up. Our address is radio.cz, where you'll find all the very latest in Czech news, plus a extensive archive of all our past features and stories. Radio.cz is the address to visit. Also take part in discussion on Facebook and Twitter. Well, that's all we have time for today, I'm afraid. I'm Jan Wellinger. For myself and for everyone here at the station, thanks so much for joining us, and take care.